the underground bunker of the Civitas Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's Civitalk with your hosts, Brooke Medina and Ray Nothstein. We're here to connect culture with civics, making it relevant to your daily life. And dare we say, existence at a time where too many are triggered and offended. So, relax. But buckle up and let's wade into the deep end. What's really happening in your old North State?
Welcome to another edition of Civitalk. Today in the studio, I'm here with Kristen Stocking. She is a board member of Pine Springs Preparatory Academy in Holly Springs, a K-8 publicly funded charter school. Stocking is a parent. She's a jack of all trades and has a background in sales. She's very articulate and passionate, and she's given her life to education and has put a lot of hours in the school choice movement. Kristen, tell me a little bit about your background and how you got involved in thinking deeply and passionately about education in this state.
Hey, Ray, thanks for having me. I moved to North Carolina with my family 10, 11 years ago. And evidently at that point, it was the height of the school reassignment debate here in Wake County, or at least it was right smack dab in the middle of it. And having a rising kindergartner, and very excited to go to her neighborhood school, we were sort of dismayed and confused when we got a notice in the mail that said she would be assigned not to the school down the street, but the one across the street from the school down the street. And we thought, well, that's odd. Why would they be moving her and essentially splitting up our neighborhood to have us go to two different schools? So just my instinct for asking questions and desire to find the truth, I started doing some research, drinking out of the fire hose of Wake County School Systems Information Hose, and started learning about diversity busing and reassignment history and why the county was doing that. And I just got involved in the politics of it, as well as the just whole academic system, so that I could figure out what was going on and make the best recommendation for my children and our community.
So I'm thinking that you are really heavily invested into your children's education, and this is something that clearly you spent the time to educate yourself on, which, I mean, I think we're going through another reassignment wave at the moment, from what I've been hearing, at least here in Wake County. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but this is something that a lot of inbound families are facing, especially when they're choosing a particular area to live in. I just have some military friends of ours that just got assigned over here, and they moved to Apex with the hope that their child would be able to stay in the same high school her entire time. But it seems like there are some things that are shifting around, and they're not entirely certain that that there's security in that when they hear that Wake County continues to kind of reassign children. And so that's a challenge, and I know that that has created some of the demand for charter schools. But what are some other things that you've heard from parents that are creating this demand for alternatives to the traditional public school system?
Well, first off, I think that most parents are just hungry for information. You know, they don't know where to go to find straight talk about what their options are. And there's also a lot of misunderstanding of what charter schools are, what homeschools involved, what homeschool involves, and how to get access to all of these resources. So as far as, you know, by the way, after I did start in with the kindergarten, I ended up, we've tried public school, we've done some private school, we've done some homeschooling, we're doing some online school with NCVPS. So, you know, we have taken full advantage of those options. And I think one of the problems that folks have is they don't have the time to do that research. They don't know where to go to find the information, to find the options. So, yeah, it is challenging. It is challenging to understand what would be the best type of resource for your child. You know, I've tried to be a resource for families in the community to help them understand that there is a good fit out there for your children. You just have to do a little digging and take a little risk and try to find the best fit that you can. So rather than worrying so much about what Wake County might do the next year, I decided to take matters into my own hands. And I think that's where a lot of parents get stuck, is they feel like they don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. They full-time working parents, they don't have the luxury of having the time to homeschool. that type of thing, or they don't aren't able to drive their student to another private school out of town. So I was blessed with that ability to make those choices. And that's really why I got involved in the charter school area, because I felt the more choices that parents have, the better off their individual students will be. Whether it's charter school, private, homeschool, public school, whatever it is, I firmly believe that every parent should have the opportunity to choose what's best. So one of the challenges, of course, is having the time to research it, having the time to deliver it, making sure you're able to understand and be empathetic to all the teachers are going through and having to deal with their challenges as well, and what the right level of involvement is. Mm-hmm. Those are some of the things I've had to work through. Yeah.
Could you expand a little bit just on sort of, it feels like to some degree, we're kind of losing that notion of a neighborhood school. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about that with your own story and with your children. I just feel like, you know, and some of the parents that I've talked to in the last few weeks, that they're just sort of, they feel like in Wake County, particularly, that neighborhood school concept is being lost because of administration or because of policies surrounding busing and things like that. But why is that important? Why is that important for just the parent out there, or, you know, not just the kid necessarily, but the parent in the community?
Well, I would like to say that the community schools are as strong as we would want them to be, but I don't get the feeling, even in our community. Now, we've got a bunch of neighbors that go to school together, so I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Right. I've chosen a different path, so there's no doubt that I'm not the norm. There are a lot of families that go to the same school right down the street, so their perception of what the level of community is probably very different from mine. But I can tell you that I still strive to be part of that community. I'm on all the Facebook pages, if you know, so that I can understand what the kids are doing, what the kids are going through, what the parents are struggling with. So I always encourage anyone who's going to the same school, that get out there and get involved. You know, whatever school you're in, be involved. And I think you can make your own community. But there is a huge benefit to knowing your neighbor, whether it's going to school together or just reaching out to your neighborhood to get together, to bring food over, that kind of stuff. I mean, I think we're losing neighborhoods. It's not just schools. I think we've lost, mm-hmm. we're losing That's a lot of sense point. Of community. So it's not just a school. You have to make your community where you are. Having moved a lot, we all know you have to make instant family.
Yeah.
So it relies on individuals to reach out and ask those questions, find out how people are doing, and step out of their comfort zone a little bit.
I think that when you mentioned just even losing that sense of community with neighborhoods, there was a study done by, City Observatory is who it was done by a couple of years ago, and it found that one in every three individuals really wants to avoid their neighbors at all costs. And mm-hmm. I thought that was very telling of sort of where we're at. I don't know exactly what drives it. I don't think it's exclusively a desire to look inward rather than caring about other people. I think there's a fear element of it.
Absolutely.
People are afraid that, especially in what is becoming an increasingly polarized society politically, mm-hmm. Being afraid of being misunderstood.
Correct. And that's the same with any school. You know, at Pine Springs, one of our charter concepts was to be a community school. So we've started a school that is highly motivated to get parents involved. So, but you're absolutely right. There's a handful of people who are always going to be the most involved because they're not so afraid of being misunderstood. And I think that is one in three is probably low, if you ask me. I mean, I find that maybe 20% of the people are the ones you hear from 80% of the time, right? So, you know, when I reach out to a neighbor and they misunderstand me, I kind of have grown to expect that. And that's sad, because after a while, you do sort of lose your enthusiasm for it. So, but on the other hand, if one of those instances is very positive, keeps you going, and you see the value in it, and it just keeps going. It keeps on giving, you know, it's a ripple effect. So for me, you take the hits and you look at the positives of it, and it far outweighs the negative. And I just always encourage people, keep trying. You're going to get kicked down sometimes, but don't give up, because it's too important.
Yep. Yeah. Kristen, I got a question, just in terms of, I think helping parents think about this. I've been talking to folks about what is the purpose of education. But when it comes to parents looking at schools and kind of deciding that question and where to send their school, sometimes, you know, we just go to public school because that's our only option, or that seems like the best option. And that may be fine. It may be the best option for a lot of people. But what advice can you give to parents? Maybe they're just moving to the area for the first time and they don't know where they want to send their kid to school. But what advice can you give them to kind of help think through some of these issues and make a decision? I mean, what out there can kind of help tip the boat or the, you know, the object a little bit for them?
That's a tough one, Ray. It all depends on your student and your child. I mean, I would always say, look at your child first. Everyone, I'm amazed that out of my two kids, how different they are, right? You've got four. So you just think this, you can't base it on what you would want. You have to look at what that child would benefit from. Would they benefit from a smaller environment, or do they thrive in large group settings? So that's one of the first things I look at. You know, my younger one, she's a little more shy. She doesn't need all the hoopla of the big public school. She likes more of a small community feel. My other one's more of outgoing. She could deal with a large network, but she's also very independent. So I chose to put her at Crossroads Flex, where she could do most of her work independently and grow some of her own clubs on her own and make a lot of impact. So I think one of the things you can do is stay off Facebook, stay off social media to make your decision. Go to that school, walk around, get a feel for what it is, and see if your child will fit in there and whether they would thrive there. Talk to some of the teachers, talk to the administrators, and just try to get a real feel. Go hang around, I hate to say, I don't want to sound creepy, but hang around the playground for a while and watch and see what the kids do and see if that would be a place where your child would thrive. We always say that we're not a success until we're an educational success for every student, not just one level of performance or another. Each child has their own needs, and find out how they evaluate, how the teachers at that school assess a student's success in academics. Do they have one-on-one counseling available when they're needing some extra support? Those kinds of things. There's no cookie cutter answer. You kind of have to dig through a lot of information, but just be careful what you read. You got to believe your eyes and go with your gut. And don't be afraid to make a change. I think that's one of the things I've learned is, you know what? They're going to be fine. They try something for a year. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a fit, don't stick it out. Go look for something else, because the kids are going to bounce back and they'll develop a resiliency. As long as they're on board and they know what they want, listen to them and try to make a fit. And it's going to change. Elementary to middle to high school, those kids change. And don't feel like you have to stay on one path through the whole experience.
I think that's really sound advice, especially given, like you noted, there is no one size fits all. Mm-mm. And recognizing, especially at the heart of education, is recognizing the unique humanity and inherent worth and dignity of each person. Mm-hmm. And so you can't approach that with just a utilitarian mindset and kind of like treat them like cattle. Mm-hmm. And so that's powerful. Kind of pivoting a little bit, but I would love for you to just educate us and our audience on the risk taking that's involved with starting a charter school. To me, it really screams entrepreneurship in mm-hmm. a way, mm-hmm. But in the education space. And so can you share just maybe some of the high level challenges you all faced as you were beginning this process?
Well, fear is the biggest challenge, right, of anything new. But actually, I got involved when I was asked if I would be interested in, quote unquote, learning what it's like to be on a school board. And what I realized is as soon as you raise your hand, you are on the school board. Okay. So onboarding process. Okay. You're interested. You're in. And what started out as being a commitment to a monthly meeting turned into a full-time volunteer job for the last 5 years, which I've been very blessed to do. It depends on what type of startup you're involved with. Some of the charter schools have an education management organization that will finance the building, finance some of the administration, give that construction support that you need going through. We were initially aligned with an EMO. 6 months into the process, we decided to part ways with that organization for various reasons. And we had to have a very serious meeting, all six of us or however many we had at the time, and said, are we going to do this ourselves? And we chose to do it ourselves. At that point, we were on our own, and we had to go find our own financing. So that, obviously, that was the biggest challenge. We didn't have a piece of property. Finding land in Holly Springs or anywhere in Wake County is challenging as it is. And if we don't have it, if you don't have any money, it's a very daunting task. So we had to really decide what our vision was for this school and go out and sell our vision. So yes, sales is a big part of it. We had to go tell the story and find investors that were interested in taking on this risk. We have an amazing community that's growing like crazy. So it helps that we have a lot of families moving into the area every day. So, you know, people get confused. They say, oh, this is all about making money. Well, none of us were in it for the money. It's all volunteer. None of us get paid a dime to do that job. And honestly, the school, it's a nonprofit, so they don't make any money either. The money actually comes, each student is assigned a certain dollar amount, budget amount from the state. And that dollar amount follows the student wherever they go to school. So we are only able to build a building based on our projected enrollment. So yes, there's a budgeting factor to it, but there's no step along the way where anyone was thinking about personal gain, financially or otherwise. But there is a fear. There's a risk that our names are on it. And if it doesn't, if it goes south, what's going to happen? You know, we built a 45,000 square foot building on the hope and a prayer that people would come. You know, if you build it, they will come, was our motto. We were amazed by the response, the need. And, you know, we didn't build it thinking that we weren't guessing that there was a need. We had outreach meetings to the community. We found out what people wanted to see in a local school, what they were looking for. We never set out to be better than any of our neighborhood schools. We just wanted to be another high quality option.
I think that's spot on, but that also highlights the risk-taking factor that's involved in this. It's not a given. Success is not guaranteed. It takes a lot of sweat equity. It takes a lot of investment and persuading people, persuading them, I think, with story, too, and realizing that investing in education and empowering parents with options is something that's actually worth some capital.
It is.
It's worth us actually spending time and treasure working toward. And so I like that you also pointed out, you know, it wasn't inspired by an effort to be better than these other schools. I mean, there are some great traditional public school options out there, but they're not for everybody, nor mm-hmm. is a charter school for everyone, nor is homeschool. I homeschooled as well.
Oh, you did.
I know you mentioned that you mm-hmm. had to for a little while. And so that's something that I repeatedly would tell women and men that were considering homeschooling. Like, look, it's
give
not
it a try. Everyone. Give it yeah. a try, though. I'm going to give a big plug for it because one of the best experiences I've ever had with my girls was to have 3 years of talk about sweat equity. You know, it's difficult yeah. to be a parent and a teacher at the same time, but we were able to travel. We were able to do a backpacking trip to Europe for 30 days, just the three of us. And, you know, even though they moaned a lot of the time carrying those bags, I know they're going to look back on that. And that's just not something we would have had the flexibility to do. So I'm all for choice, giving parents the opportunity to do something like that. We're lucky North Carolina is very friendly to those choices. I will say again, going back to the financing, one thing people are unclear about is, you know, who's making money building this building? Well, we don't get any state funds for facilities. So all of our facility funds have to come out of our operating budget. And that's really important because that means we have to focus even harder on our operating budget and our expenses day to day. And we were able to do it so successfully in the first year and put some money in the bank. And it just tells me that everything large could be probably managed a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the beauties of the smaller charter school and the fact that we're managing it ourselves. We really can keep an eye on dollars in and dollars out and make sure that we're getting as many dollars in the classroom as we can. We also, being a community school, we get so much involvement from parents. They're so generous. We wouldn't be able to do half the things that we've done. We just put in a brand new beautiful playground based on donations from families. So, you know, building that community, you asked, Ray, what's important about it? Well, we support each other. You know, when times get mm-hmm. tough, this is our family now. This Pine Springs family has become so strong, and you know, we've gone through a lot of changes, and we're going to continue to go through changes. We're looking at building a new building next door, and it's another risk, another huge step. And we're going to, now we've got some families to stand behind us, so it's not as scary, and I know we can do this.
Kristen, I have another tough question for you. I'm really, you know, let's say there's a mom out there or a dad, and their child is just not excelling in the public schools, or maybe they just don't like their experience. Mm-hmm. What things can charter schools offer? Because, you know, sometimes I think somebody who might look at a charter school and a public school or a traditional public school and say, I don't know the difference between these two. Is one, you know, what are they doing differently? But I'm kind of interested in what can they address from a need standpoint that might be different from a traditional public school, meaning a charter school?
I think flexibility is really key. We can move on a dime. You know, we don't have to go through layers of bureaucracy to make a change. And I think that small town feel of our school in particular, that these teachers meet, are able to meet, you know, I can't say they're any different than meeting schedules for a regular public school. So that's hard for me to say. But I think just the flexibility and knowing that we can adjust our curriculum very quickly if it's not working for the group, we can change things year to year without having to go through a tremendous amount of paperwork to do so. We just decide as a curriculum committee that, hey, we want to try this new format. We want to try this new software. We can add certain things to our system or take things away that just aren't working, and we don't have to wait for several years to do it.
I think that's powerful, being that close to the source and mm-hmm. really localizing mm-hmm. it in a way that does effectively respond to the needs of your unique student population mm-hmm. rather than waiting for bureaucrats to intervene. I think that hamstrings public schools in a lot of ways, and I have spoken with public school teachers, and a number of them, that is a frustration that they mm-hmm. have, is just there is very little autonomy and ability to make some important decisions that would benefit their classroom. So there are some other, I think now is a good time actually to talk about some of those criticisms that I'm sure you've had to field being within the charter school movement as a board member, especially when it comes to those who are maybe pro-teachers union, they're opposed to school choice in any form, including a publicly funded charter school. So one of them is segregation. Mm-hmm. Another is free lunches, mm-hmm. bus travel to mm-hmm. and from school. So mm-hmm. what are some of the ways in which you would respond to some of those criticisms that inevitably get leveled against you?
Well, I think a lot of that is based on misunderstanding. You know, one of our charter efforts, if you will, is to make sure people know who we are and that we're here to help them too. I mean, we reach out to our local schools and ask them, you know, what can we do to help you guys do better? You know, a rising tide raises all ships or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we feel that we can all support each other in our efforts to be better. But I think, you know, I'll just take a couple of the things you mentioned. You mentioned lunches and transportation. And, you know, we have to supply all of the things that a public school would supply. We, you know, we don't have to supply buses, if you will, but if someone needs a ride, we have to go pick them up. So if someone can't come to school, then we have to supply some kind of transportation for them to get there. We, as far as diversity and segregation concerns, our school model, and anyone can examine our profile of our student body, and they will see that it very closely models the exact Holly Springs and Wake County in general. So we are very careful in our quarterly and annual analysis, actually, of what types of students we're getting in, from where, from all different demographics. So we advertise and market our school throughout the community. So when we do our annual push for recruitment, a big part of our discussion is how do we make sure that we are offering this service, this resource to everybody in the community, regardless of where they live and how much money they make. So that is a huge part of our responsibility to the state. We have to show them every year that this is part of our marketing effort. If we don't demonstrate it, we could have our charter taken away. So not only is it, we realize it's important to our success, but it's also something we're required to do.
Required to do that. Interesting. Mm. Okay. Which is a requirement, I assume, that definitely is not placed on the public school system, as it is a district, their district schools, the traditional public schools.
Right, they're assigned. I remember, I'll never forget that when we were first opening the school, we all got in our cars and we specifically targeted particular neighborhoods that might not be as able to access information, let's say, or they might not necessarily be as likely to be on our social media mailing lists, if you will. And we went door to door and we literally reached out to thousands of families on foot to make sure they knew about our school. Mm-hmm. So, and we do that every year. We hold public events and get our name out there. So we're always trying to figure out ways to reach the community far and wide.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, I'm gonna go off script a little bit, but what have you learned most, not just in terms of education, but by being on the school board, but what has been sort of your big takeaway when it comes to challenges, but also just in terms of, you know, what kind of education and legacy you want to leave, not just for the kids at the charter school, but your own kids? I mean, what is the kind of the big 10,000 foot takeaway that you see every day working on the board and the challenges, you know, that this state faces, maybe this nation faces from an educational, whether you want to call it a deficit or just big challenge going forward?
We all need to step up and get in the game. I mean, this is, there's not a lot of rewards for people who take these risks. I mean, I've started small businesses before that failed. Really, essentially, didn't make any money off of those either. I call it the school of hard knocks, and that's what my grandpa called it. You know, we went to the school of hard knocks. I just want my kids to know that their mom made a difference in I don't know how many kids' lives, right? I mean, I look at those kids. We opened the playground yesterday, and I had worked on the facility piece of that, and, you know, I learned all about getting certificates of occupancy and building permits and ADA requirements and all these things that I didn't know anything about. But you know what? I learned them because I knew that the school needed some help in this area. And you just got to step in and do what's needed. And if they walk away with nothing other than, wow, my mom really put her heart into this and look at what she did. Look at these kids that are coming out of the school, happy smiles on their faces every day. I mean, I don't know where they're going to end up. They could end up being one of our future leaders. And so to me, that's worth it. I don't need the paycheck. My husband will, don't tell him I said that, but you know, he'd love me to go make some money. He's like, oh, when is she going to go get a job? But you know, I can't think of anything more rewarding than giving my time and effort and time, talent and treasure, as you say, to see these children. They don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. They don't care what we do at the board, and that's the way we want it. We want our business to be, transparent to those who need to see it, but we want it to be invisible and successful to the students and the teachers and the administration. Those are the people doing the work. I would love for more people in the community to understand what we do, to come see what we do, and to realize we're not trying to disable anyone else from creating a successful school choice option. Rather, we want to continue to raise a bar for everybody, so that we can all provide a better quality option for our kids. You know, there's no perfect answer.
Yep.
So, but again, step up, get in the game, take the risk, be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to take a little hit. It's worth it.
That's a great point, because I think when it just comes to education in general, really the importance of just the family dynamic and having strong families is really critical for the success of your child. We all know that. I mean, we can go out and study and try to get into the best universities, but I think if you invest in your child now, then, you know, it doesn't really matter ultimately where they go to school or what kind of accomplishments they get. But if you spend time with them and invest in their life, and let them know that you love them unconditionally and you will sacrifice for them, for their well-being, I think that's more valuable than, you know, any sort of prestigious college that they get into or any sort of accolades that they may receive. I think really that is sort of the linchpin and key to successful education in this country, is having very involved parents. And, you know, I think that's really one of the challenges that we have in sort of a breakdown of family and other issues is trying to overcome that deficit to some degree. So, Kristen, it's been great talking to you today.
Great talking to you guys too.
We really appreciate you coming in. And, you know, I don't know if you have any final takeaways, whether it be advice or guidance for people out there who are listening, and maybe they just feel a little either perplexed or dumbfounded, or I'm not sure what to do about education, you know, whether it be for their child or whoever is a loved one to them. I don't know if you have any kind of parting words to just kind of wrap this up and give us some encouragement or motivation going into the days and weeks and years ahead.
I think just my kids would say I don't listen well enough, but I think they don't realize how much we actually hear when we're sitting with them. We listen, but I think that's the most important thing is listen to your child, your children, and find out what's important to them and make sure you go out and vote and support people who support school choice, because ultimately, if you're doing that listening and you think that you can envision a place where that student would thrive, you should be able to choose that place and continue to get involved and help support those places that are popping up so that we all have the right fit for our kids.
Very good advice, and thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it, and you all have a wonderful week, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you.